I want to say it's an honor and a privilege to be here as Chris makes her way around to take the offering. My name is Pastor Rick Thornhill. I'm the lead pastor of New Hope Community Church in Ambridge. I've been the lead pastor there. August will be 8 years. I was an associate pastor for about a year and a half, and I got saved at that church. So it's the only church I've ever been a member of. I got saved at that church. You know, without going in my whole testimony, I mean, God just radically changed my life when I was about 26 and just kind of flipped my life upside down. And I prayed a prayer when I was back then, and I just said, Lord, whatever doors you open for me, I'll walk through them. And God's just been opening up so many doors. And I'm also the divisional superintendent here for Western PA and Northeast Ohio. And somehow they threw the Northern West Virginia in there on me as well. But so I want you to know that you guys, although you guys are here, you're part of a family. And I am not your pastor's boss. I know the one time you said here, it's like somehow this guy became my boss. I'm not his boss because the kingdom of God isn't like that. Amen. The greatest amongst us is to be a servant. So I'm here to serve with your pastors, for your pastors, and I love your pastors. And one thing that I want to just say, I just want to thank my son-in-law, Trey Marshall, for coming out. He is our worship team over at New Hope. So we kind of left them and said, all right, time for you guys to step up and do this on your own. So I hope that you guys were blessed by him. That worship was powerful, man. I was caught up in the spirit. I mean, that was just incredible. And before I get on to my message today, which I call Kingdom First, I just want to say a little something about your pastors. They're not here, so we get to talk about them, right? We get to talk about them. And I just want to say that a lot of times, because they're here every week, week in and week out, because you have their cell phone number, because you know you can see them or you can call them whenever you want to. Sometimes things that God put in our life really as a gift can become common. And so we just begin to treat this gifting in our life that God gave us, that he gave us pastors in our life to lead us, to protect us, to pray for us, to give us advice. And listen, can I tell you something? Sometimes your pastor can see things that you're not seeing totally clear. And, you know, sometimes they're there to be that second set of spiritual eyes, that they're really there to protect you. The Bible says that they're a gift. So I want to say that these are not common people. I mean, Sam traveled as an evangelist for multiple years and then settled down, pastored a local church. I don't know, raised like 75 kids or something like that, you know, and I mean, you know, so there's just a wealth of just life experience and revelation and everything that this man is carrying. So I want you guys to just keep that in mind and just honor him. And trust me, there's a blessing that comes from honoring your pastor. When you will honor him, when you listen to him, when you are observant to him, there's a blessing that will come into your life because of that. Amen. So my message today is kingdom first. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It could also be kind of called the principle of first. And although to some degree, the practical, easiest application of this will be about money, it's going to apply to every area of your life. And so I'm just warning you ahead of time that we are going to be talking a little bit about finances and our possessions this morning. And so, you know, don't shut me down, because where we're going is we're going to the Sermon on the Mount, which most people say that if you could take Jesus's teaching and there was a summary, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, I mean, that's kind of the culture of the kingdom of God. I mean, there's a lot in there. And so we're going to talk about finances, because finances are important to us. It's a big part of our life. And it was definitely important to Jesus, because if the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most concise summaries of the teachings of Christ, there's a big chunk that he took that concerns money and finances. Amen? So, I don't know. At my church, we yell back, amen. I mean, the church yells at me. I mean, we're pretty excited when we get there. So, I'm going to need you guys to help me out just a little bit. So, when I say amen, I mean, try to, like, knock me over. Like, you know, like, try just be like, let's try this again. Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I want you to just kind of focus on that just for a second. And I want you to kind of tuck that in the back of your mind. Because here's the thing. It's not about money. It's about your heart. Amen. Where your treasures are, there will be your heart also. So we're talking about your heart. We're not talking about your money this morning. Let's go ahead and let's skip down to verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first. Somebody say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Would you just bow your head so we can pray for today's message? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, the name that is above every name, the only name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Lord, I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and you would make our hearts to be receptive to your word, Lord. I pray that freedom would come with this word, Lord. I pray that worry would fall off, Lord. I pray that lives would be changed through your word, Lord, but I need your help this morning, Lord. So I'm going to pray that my spirit decrease, that your Holy Spirit increase. Lord, I pray that the name of Jesus would be glorified today and the people of God would be edified. And we say it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys are getting good. See, that didn't take long. You guys are going to be all ready when Pastor Sam comes back, when he starts preaching. I mean, I want you guys to shout him down when he's preaching. Amen. I'm not sure how many of you guys are like me, but when things get too complicated, I get overwhelmed. If I look at one big thing and I have to look at the whole big picture, man, I just kind of shut down. And I mean, I need to look at things kind of one piece at a time, block by block by block. You know, it's like, if I have a whole house that I need to remodel, like, and I start looking at everything and how much it'll cost and what you got to do and everything, like, I'll just like lose it. Like, I need to like focus on one room, right? I guess I'm a little simple like that. I just don't like things really complicated. I like them to be, you know, I need things to be lined up one after the other. You know, my wife, you know, she'll sometimes, she's a list maker, so she likes to make lists. So she's not here, so I get a chance to talk about her as well. So as she would write me, you know, she would have all these lists. And so I would sit down and she'd be like, we got to do this and we got to do this and we got to go to the store and we got to do this and we got to go here. And we got to pay this bill. And we got to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like 30 million things. And I'm like, my head's about to explode. And I'm like, okay, like, let's take that list. What's the most important thing? Give me that thing, and then we'll move on to the next thing. Is anybody in here kind of like that? They need like the next thing, right? And so, you know, sometimes when things are complicated, I like to make them simple. And I'll tell you what, one of the most complicated areas of your life, whether you admit it or not, whether you want to think about it, it is kind of has to deal with your finances. I mean, think about it. How, you know, from the time you kind of graduate high school, people are drilling in your head, what are you going to do when you get older? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right? So what kind of career are you going to choose? Should you go to college or should you go to a trade school? You know, should you just get into the workforce? How are you going to make a living? How are you going to provide for your family? And then maybe even how are you going to provide for a secure retirement when you get done with your work days, when you can't work anymore? How are you going to make sure? How are you going to finance that? Should I go and buy a new car with a payment? Because, you know, yeah, I got a big payment on it, but at least if it breaks down, I know it's covered. Or should I take the cash I have and maybe buy an older car, a clunker, and just pray to God that it keeps running, right? But not have a payment, not have any debt. There's a lot of choices. You know, should we buy a house or should we rent for a while? I mean, the list goes on. And in this life, you have lots of choices when it comes to how you're going to survive and how you're going to provide for yourself. But how many of you know that God wants to be your provider? Amen. How many know that God wants to bless your life? We have a God who not only loves us, but he wants to bless us. He wants to provide for everything that you need. And in this passage, he gives us the one thing that he requires from us. He requires that we put the kingdom first. Put the kingdom first and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. What was the all that he was talking about? We just have to go a little bit higher in the passage. He was talking about, you know, why do you worry about clothing? What will you eat? You know, what will you drink? What will you wear? All these things that you worry about, where you're going to get it. And Jesus said, you know what? You just put the kingdom first. And if you can put the kingdom first, then all those things will be added to you. So for me, I like that because I know that, like, if I just put the kingdom first, then I know that God says that he will provide for me. Amen. So we put the kingdom first and then God is going to provide for us. And listen, at some point in our life, we have to make a decision. Do we believe that God is our provider or not? And listen, everybody in here, if I said, hey, do you believe that God's your provider? Do you believe that God's your provider? You would say, yes, God is my provider. But then if I said to you, well, do you worry when your bills get a little bit tight? You would probably say, yeah. So sometimes we can know some things in our head, but they got to get down into our heart. But this is the thing, like, when you can trust God to be your provider, then you don't got to worry anymore. You don't got to worry about when you miss a car payment and the car company's coming threatening they're going to take your car, or you miss a bill payment. Lord, if you said you would provide for me, if you want me to have this car, then you're going to provide the money for me. I'm not going to stress out. I'm not going to worry about it. That's what the word says. That why are you worrying about it? Look, worrying is not going to help you. It's unhelpful. It's unbelief. It's not going to help you at all. And listen, if you decide that, you know what, I got to figure all this stuff out myself and I'm going to sit up late at night worrying about how I'm going to pay all these bills, then guess what? All the weight is carried on your back. But doesn't the word say that we're to cast our cares upon Jesus, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? So if he promises to be our provider and we say that he is our provider, then we're not supposed to worry about it. We put the kingdom first. We put him first. That becomes our priority. Then he agrees that he will bless us and he will take care of us. And I can tell you this, if you're not the kind of person that, you know, you can trust God in every area of your life, but you're scared to trust him with your finances, you're probably going to find achieving long-term wealth very, very elusive, because God can't bless your finances if he's second. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money, right? And I'm not saying that God does not want us to have money. Listen, I believe that God wants to bless us. I believe that God wants you to be healthy. I believe that God wants you to have nice things, right? I believe that we are blessed for a purpose. We're blessed to be a blessing. But I can tell you that if you're just chasing after blessings and you're chasing after things and God's second, he doesn't want to give you something else that will feed your idolatry. When he realizes that, you know what, I can trust him and this person isn't attached to things, he's actually attached to me, right? This world is not our home. I can tell you that, you know, I've been to lots of funerals and I've officiated a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a Hertz being followed by a U-Haul, right? I've never seen them say, okay, well, we're going to pack up this stuff, right? You're not taking anything with you. So ultimately, we shouldn't be attached to things. Listen, I will tell you this. If you will commit to give God your first and your best, then he says that he will take care of all your needs. But listen, this is what I don't want you to hear today. I don't want you to hear that you need to give so that you can get. Please don't hear that. God says that he will bless us when we're faithful with our finance. Obedience always brings a blessing. Obedience will always bring a blessing. But we don't give just so we can get stuff. Listen, this is why we give. Because all of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners by nature and by choice. And all of us had the wrath of God upon us. And Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven into a cursed place, became a man, lived a life that we could not live, died the death that we should have died, took the full wrath of God, drank the cup, drank every bit of it, took that upon himself, took the punishment we should have taken, was buried, raised on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, ascended today, is seated on the right hand of the Father, and today he offers this free gift of righteousness to every one of us. And listen, if you gave everything you had, I don't care how much money you have, if you sold your house, if you emptied out your bank account, you sold your car, you gave everything you had, it would not ever even come close to the gift of righteousness and the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ gave to you. And that's why we give, because he's worthy. He's worthy of our first and he's worthy of our best. And honestly, according to scripture, he will not take second. He will only take your first. He will only take your first and he will only take your best. Listen, I have people all the time. They want to give stuff to the church. Here, you want to take my table and put it at the church, and I go there to pick it up and it has three legs. We don't want this for the church. Isn't God worthy of your best? Why do you want God to give me your life? Here, you know what? I have a couch. I think I want to give it to the church. And you go there and the couch had big rips on it and their dog peed all over it. I don't want to take that to the church. That's God's house. God's worthy of our best. Why do you want to give them your leftovers? But how many of us come and we just give God our leftovers? We don't give them our first and our best. We just reach in and we want to give them our leftovers. God is worthy of our first and God is worthy of our best. And listen, I will tell you today that God will take you further on the 90% that he lets you keep than on the 100% that you want to keep. I'll say it in a different way. God will take you further on 90% blessed than 100% cursed. Here's another way. If you choose to chase God, then his blessings will chase you and overtake you. If you choose to chase things and chase blessings, they'll just run away from you. He's worthy of our best. He's worthy of our best. And I want to look at a few more scriptures that will kind of, I believe, open up this concept a little bit more, that this principle of first, and just hang with me, and I promise at the end we'll tie this all together and you'll kind of see the revelation of where I'm coming from. And I want to see that this thing about giving God our first and this principle of first is all through the scriptures. It's all through the scriptures. And so when we talk about giving our first and best, we talk about, you know, most of us, we work a job, we get paid money. But, you know, back in biblical culture and in an agrarian culture, wealth for them was, it was what, fruits and vegetables, the stuff that they farmed. It was cattle and livestock. So how did they give their first and their best? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 first, verse 9 and 10. And I will tell you that about 22 times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about your first fruits, giving your first fruits. What are your first fruits? Basically, the first harvest of the crop, right? If I had a tomato plant, the first tomatoes that come off that tomato plant, I would take off and I would offer them to the Lord. The Word of God says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So if you're a farmer and you have an orchard or you have, you know, crops, it says take your first fruits. And there's another place, I believe in the book of Leviticus, where it says give the first of your first fruits. And then there's the promise of the blessing. Your barns will be plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So that's kind of counterintuitive. It's like the same thing when somebody talks about bringing the tithe to the storehouse, that I tithe and I give to God, and then you tithe, and the Bible says that we'll be blessed. And you'll say, well, how would I be blessed? Because I'm going to give less. But God will take you further with that. That's why he says give the first fruits. So the very first fruits that come off, I give that. And then God says that he'll bless you, that your barns will be filled with plenty. Why? Because the first fruits that you gave, God will bless the rest of your crops. All you guys probably know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel went and they were the first kind of first children of Adam and Eve. And it says they went there, they went up to the mountain, they went to worship the Lord. And that Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of sheep. And so when they went up, they went up and they gave offerings. And, you know, long story short, you know, Cain's offering was rejected. Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain ends up killing Abel. But the point of it is that, you know, for years it never really says why the offering was rejected. And I was always taught, well, you know, to come to God had to come through, you know, a blood sacrifice, and, you know, Abel brought a lamb, and so that was a blood sacrifice, and Cain just brought some fruit, and so that wasn't the acceptable way to get to God. But this was before, you know, any of that, before the sort of temple system was even instituted. And then in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that Abel offered his offering by faith. Why did he offer his offering by faith? Because he gave the first of the lamb, that he gave the firstlings of his flock. And basically, if you go through in the Hebrew, then Cain basically gave the third or fourth picking. In other words, Cain gave what was left over. He gave kind of what he didn't want, and he brought that to the Lord. So he did not put the Lord first. It wasn't offered in faith. See, the reason that it's the first is because the first is what's offered in faith. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the first has to be offered in faith. So the first fruits, why is that? Because I take that off. I don't know whether I'm getting any more. If I get a tomato plant and there's just, you know, and I take all the tomatoes off there and I take it down to nothing and then I offer it, well, I have to believe God that he's going to bless that to give me more. And that's like the first of our offering, that we're supposed to take the first of our increase and we offer it to the Lord. We don't give the first of what we have to the mortgage company. We don't give the first of what we have to our car company. Why? Because they don't have the power to bless our finances. And so, listen, where do you think your money has been? I mean, I know we're in church, but, you know, they say most money, almost 100% of it has drug residue over it. Some of your money's been in some pretty dirty places, right? Some of the symbols on your money, without going into a whole thing and going down a rabbit trail, are very occult in nature. And so basically you can either have two spirits on your money. You can have the spirit of God, or you can have the spirit of mammon on your money. And if you take the first tenth and you offer it, then God blesses it. It's just like the first of our offering. We take the first and we give that in faith, and God says, I'll bless the rest. Let's go to one more. If you're a tiller of the ground, but what if you were a keeper of sheep? Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. And I don't want to move too fast for you guys. If you guys are just following up here, that's good. I don't want you to have to. You guys good? All right. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, said, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. God says, the first is mine. The first is mine. And here's the thing. When it comes to the tithe and the offering, either we can bring it or we can rob it. It's not ours to keep. Really, it's all his, but he requires a tenth of it. But he says that the tithe is mine. So we either bring it or we rob it. That's why you can look it up in Malachi. It says, will a man rob God? And they say, Lord, how have we robbed you? And they say, you've robbed me in the tithe and the offering. In other words, you've kept that from me. You've took what is mine. And he says here, consecrate to me all the firstborn, the womb among the children, both man and beast. It is mine. Let's skip down to verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, he swore to you and your fathers and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Now, let me just break this down, because it's, you may be kind of thinking like, okay, what does all this have to do? Just hang with me for a second. You have a couple different things. First of all, God declares that the first is mine. The firstborn is mine. And he talks about a lamb, a donkey, and then there's the firstborn children. So the lamb is a clean animal, is considered a clean animal to the Jews, and the donkey was considered an unclean animal. And so what he's saying is that basically the firstborn of a clean animal has to be sacrificed. The firstborn of an unclean animal has to be redeemed, because an unclean cannot be offered up for a sacrifice. Only the clean could be offered up. So the firstborn donkey, to redeem it, you had to sacrifice a lamb. You had to take a clean animal, sacrifice it, so that would be redeemed. Every firstborn child, a lamb had to be sacrificed to redeem the firstborn. So he said with the donkey that it's either going to be redeemed or you're going to break its neck. Basically, if it's not redeemed, then you're going to lose it anyway. The firstborn child had to be redeemed. And I just want you to think that this is a picture. When we were born into this world, the Bible teaches that we were unclean. Right? We were unclean. We were born with a sin nature, right? If I take two 1 year olds and I put them in the same crib and give one toy in there, right? You're going to see them trying to fight with each other, trying to keep it, right? Nobody taught that. We don't really have to teach our kids to be greedy. We don't have to teach those things. We have to teach them to be honest. We have to teach them to be generous, right? We're born in sin, so we're born unclean. But Christ came down. He was born of a virgin, right? He was born of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the sin nature passed down from Adam like we do. So he was clean. So he dies on a cross. And the Bible says that he became the firstborn of a new creation with new brothers and sisters. So Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he dies on a cross. He sacrificed to redeem unclean you and I and everybody else who will put our faith in him. So it was a picture. So it was a picture of this thing of first that Christ comes and he sacrificed, right? The firstborn lamb, again, it has to be offered by faith, because if livestock is money and the lamb is born, then basically you don't know whether that sheep is going to have any more lambs. That might be the last one. So the firstborn you offer in faith, believing that God will bless you and he'll bless your herds, because we offer it in faith because it's our first. And then verse 14 says, so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? You shall say to him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. And it shall be a sign on your hand and its frontlets between your eyes. By the strength of the hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He says, you know what? There's going to come a day when your children get old enough and that sheep has a little baby lamb and you sacrifice that to the Lord, that your child's going to say, why are you doing that? Why would you do that? And he said, at that time, you're going to be able to say to your children, you know what? We weren't always farmers. We weren't always shepherds. There was a time in our family where we were slaves. We were in bondage in Egypt and we had no hope. But God, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he rescued us from that bondage of Pharaoh by through the Passover, by killing off their firstborn man and beast. And he rescued us out of there and he set us into a promised land and he set us into a blessed place. And so that's why I sacrifice in faith to the Lord the firstborn, and I redeem the firstborn, and I redeem the firstborn of my family. And listen, I hope that I've been trying to show you that all through the scripture, that God demands our first and our best. And when it comes to our giving, God is worthy of our first and our best. And it's not about money. It's about your heart. And I know when we talk about tithing, a lot of people get really stuck and they say, you know what? This is Old Testament. You're taking us back under the law. We've been freed from the law. I don't believe in tithing, but I will tell you that, you know, without going too far with this, that the tithing took place before the Old Testament law. Tithing, the first time we see it is Genesis 14, where Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High, who Jesus said that he's in a priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. We are the seed of Abraham by faith, so we tithe like Abraham did out of faith. But listen, you don't have to tithe to be saved. You don't. You don't have to come to church either. You don't have to be nice to your wife. You don't have to be nice to your husband. You don't have to be nice to the waiters and waitresses when you go out to lunch after church. But what I'm saying is that we're saved by the blood of Jesus, but there's a pathway of blessing that the Lord laid out for us. And just because it's in the old covenant doesn't mean that it's not a good idea. And God lays out principles that are a string all through Scripture that if you walk with them, you'll be blessed. And there's so many Christians that they're in church and they gave their life to Jesus, but they live a down, defeated life. And listen, there's a blessed life that you can live. There's a blessing. And I'm telling you, when you give your first and your best, God will give you His first and His best. Right? If you want God's leftovers, give Him your leftovers. After you pay for everything, after you do everything that you want to do, after you buy everything you want to buy, you know what? If you got a little change left over, if you got a couple bucks left over, then bring that to church and throw it in the pot. But I'm going to tell you, that is not the way to get God to bless you. And the reality of it is, I'm sure that there's some people in here and you're looking at it, you're saying, you know what? I can't afford to tithe. I just don't have the money. Listen, I quit my job. I made, you know, $60,000 a year, good government job, and I quit that job to be in ministry full time. I pastor a church full time, and I work at the YMCA part time. Listen, none of those pay really well. But I will tell you that God provides for everyone of my needs. And me and my wife made a promise that a dime out of every dollar we are going to give to the Lord. And up and beyond that, we're even going to give offerings to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that God has always provided. I've never went hungry. I've always had a place to live. Even sometimes it seems like, man, it goes to that last minute, man, where I feel like I'm going to lose anything. But I can tell you that God is always on time. He always shows up. He's faithful. He never lets us down. And listen, if my whole life is based on the promises of God, and the promises of God that is, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, and I will open a window and I will pour out the blessings of heaven so big that you will not even be able to contain it. I don't know about you, but I can use a blessing that's so big that I can't contain it, because when I get blessed like that, now I can bless others. Now I can open up a women's recovery home and not just have a men's recovery home. We don't even have a shelter in Beaver County for people anymore. They closed it down, but none of the churches have any money to even help homeless people who are out on the street. So they don't have nowhere to go. So we don't have a shelter even in Beaver County. The work of God is stalled because the people of God have not been faithful with their tithings and offerings. I didn't come here to beat you over the head. I promise you, because listen, whether this church makes their budget or not, that's not on me. It's not on me. But I just, why would I keep it a secret for something that I can tell you that your life will be blessed? So listen, if we have a better covenant based on better promises, in other words, if we have everything that was promised in the new covenant to Israel, if we have all that and we have more, if we have a better covenant that is not based on our works, that is based on the faithfulness of Christ, if we have a better covenant, why would we even stop at 10%? Why would we struggle with 10%? Wouldn't we want to do better? Amen. The New Testament, they gave it all. So if you really want to go down that road, it says that they sold all their possessions and held everything in common. And the guy who held back a portion of it, he was struck dead, right? Ananias and Sapphira. So you're giving, you will be blessed, but you got to put God first. It's not about the money. It's about your heart. We put God first. We put God first with our giving. We put God first in our marriage. We put God first in our job. You guys are here on Sunday morning when a lot of people chose to stay in bed. We're here on the first day of the week in the morning, giving the first part of the day so that the rest of our week will be blessed. The first part of the day, I wake up and I get down on the edge of my bed and I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Thank you for putting breath in my body, because I might not have everything and I might still have some struggles here and there. But as long as I got breath in my lungs, I know that you're not done with me, Lord. And I know that you got a plan and purpose for me. And I know that you are good. And I know that your plans are good. And I'm just going to walk in this story that you have already written before me, before I even lived a day on this earth. And so listen, I just want to challenge you. Bring the tithe. Give God your first and your best. Don't give them your leftovers. Don't give them your leftovers anymore. Give them your first. Give them your best. This is the only place in Scripture where he says, test me on this. Test me on this. God invites us to test him. See if I don't pour out a blessing on you. Test me. See if I don't provide for your every need. And I want to challenge you. Go in faith. Go in faith. And before I close, I just want to talk to you a little bit about why this scripture is so important to me. You know, it says on there, it talks about there's going to be a day coming when your children are going to ask you, why are you sacrificing that firstborn? You know, my daughter, she's 21, she'll be 22. Man, from the time that she was pretty young, she would tithe. I mean, I remember somebody giving her 50 cents and she was walked up to my wife and she said, okay, what's 10% of this? You know, that's 5 cents, right? You know, so can I get a nickel? You know, cause she wanted to tithe on her 50 cents. But the thing was, is that, you know, every week, and this was, you know, I'm talking before I was a pastor, you know, when me and my wife decided that we were going to make tithing and giving just part of our life and we were going to trust God, you know, we would put money and she would watch us and she'd say, you know what? Why you put money in there every week? Why do you put that much money? You know, one time my wife saved up for a whole new furniture set. I didn't even know about it. She was stashing money because she wanted some new furniture and she said that if I knew about it, I would spend it. You know, one day I came to her, I said, you know, the Lord's really putting on my heart that we need to give $1,000 to the church for this building offering. I said, I don't even know where we're going to get it from. She's just like looked at me like kind of her eyes kind of like was like either you know something or like I hate you. I don't know. It was like there's a mixture of that. She walked into the room and she opened up that envelope and she said, you know, I'm saving this for new furniture, but I know it's the Lord leading us to give this. My daughter was like, you know, why are you giving all that money to the church? And I got a chance to tell her that, you know what, we weren't always a Christian family. And your dad wasn't always the type of person who went to church. I was in bondage. I was in bondage to drugs. I was in bondage to alcohol. I was a terrible dad. My marriage was hanging on by a string. But with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God reached down and pulled me out of that muck. He set me free from drugs and alcohol. He taught me how to be a husband. He taught me how to be a father. He opened the door, made me a pastor, put a word in my mouth, has used the ministry of Christ to help so many other people who are struggling with drugs and alcohol. This is what God did for me. So I gladly reach in and give him my first and my best, because there's no way that I could pay him back for the things that he did to me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your salvation. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. I'm sure I could go around this room and everybody has a story of your faithfulness, of your mighty hand, of your healing power, Lord. We thank you for all of that, Lord. And Lord, help us to be faithful in this area of finances, Lord. So many of us struggle here. So many of us struggle here. Lord, we want to give. Sometimes we don't even know how. We don't know how we're going to make it, Lord. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help our faith, Lord. Help us to break through. Help us to break through. Help us to break through to the promised land, to the place of prosperity, the place where we can just trust you, the place where we don't have to carry all the weight on our back. Some of us got gray hair because we've been worrying about how we're going to provide for ourselves, Lord. And we put ourselves in place of you because you're our provider, Lord. So we repent for that, Lord. And Lord, we repent for those times when we weren't faithful, Lord. And we pray that you would forgive us, Lord, and help us. Lord, we thank you that a new day is coming, Lord. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord. I pray for the leadership, Lord. I pray that they would be blessed, Lord. I pray that they would stay healthy and strong until a very ripe old age, Lord. I pray that you would raise up men and women that would come alongside and be sold out for the things of God, Lord, that would come out and begin to shoulder some of the weight of the ministry, Lord. I pray for expansion and growth, Lord. I pray for souls to be coming in, Lord. I pray that as people drive by, Lord, that they would feel something drawing them in, that they wouldn't be able to get away from it. Every time they would drive by, there's something about that place. I just got to go in, Lord. We thank you in advance for those who would be brought to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that you would provide for all the needs of this ministry, Lord. I've heard the dreams. I've heard the vision of what this place is going to be. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are building upon this generation until the next generation. Lord, that a mighty work would be done in your name. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.